Hello, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you doing over there in the dry place?
Well, I'm only a few blocks from you, and it's not so dry here.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm. It's amazing how that is. I'm looking out. It's a little damp, but not pouring down rain.
Second day of summer.
Yes.
Not coming on strong.
No, it isn't that. But we have the chance then to contemplate events past, present, and perhaps we can even talk about what appears to be coming into the future as we look at things. Let's start with Tuesday's assembly meeting. How about?
Well, it was a little different start to the assembly meeting. There was actually, as the mayor made a comment, everybody there.
That's
right. Everybody on from every district was there seated. It's been kind of a hodgepodge of call-ins and some people there, some people not there for the last few months. And so everybody was seated, along with the borough attorney and the borough clerk. So that's always a good start to the meeting. They approved the agenda. They did pull a couple of things off it, which we'll talk about a little bit. And they got pretty much busy right away getting reports from the city. Mayor Cottle gave a report from the city of Wasilla, talked a little bit about the 911 conversion or the emergency services at dispatch that city of Wasilla has now taking over after the bid last year, and they felt that they were ahead of schedule, working well together, and that July 1st they would be up and running. He talked about, you know, fireworks are having on, guess what, July 4th.
Right.
No other day but July 4th and the parade that will be happening, the only parade, he thinks, in at least in South Central for 4th of July. And also a centennial car show that's going to be happening the 7th, 8th, and 9th, along with the mayor's picnic, and they're busy over there.
Yep.
Nate Wallace from the city of Palmer talked next. Good to see Nate showing up for these meetings now that his budget process and a lot of stuff are out of the way. His side of the neck of the woods, the Colony Days was a raging success. They thought it was the biggest crowd they'd ever had. In fact, he talked about noting that the bigger crowds they need to prepare a little bit more for in the future, a little more support for the public restrooms and the crosswalks. That kind of thing. There were 65 float entries, which is quite a big amount for a little parade the size of Palmer. I expect there to be even more next year, Mike, because it'll be a political year.
That's right.
They've got the crosswalks painted, and he agreed with the mayor of Wasilla that dispatch is going along well. He talked a little bit about the borough's contract with the greater the city's contract with the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area. He would like to urge them, instead of a year contract, I guess this contract has been in place for some 40 years, but instead of a year-to-year, that they look at making it a five-year contract. They did go ahead and pass a contract later in the agenda, and I bet that will come back for an amendment of some sort, at least by next year, to make it doesn't look like something they should be looking at every year.
Right.
He talked a little bit about the Scottish Games coming in on June 27th and a couple of great big events coming up here, notably the Midsummer Garden and Art Fair, which will be July 9th, which is always a really big day in Palmer. So lots of good things going on in the cities. We did have just a short report from the district, the school district. Monica Goya, the superintendent of the Matsu School District, did speak just for a few moments. She talked about wanting to thank Mayor Halter for bringing the sales tax in front of the borough. It was introduced this last meeting, and it'll be talked about in the next meeting. She also wanted to let that they are predicting an 81% to 82% overall graduation rate, which is pretty darn good. It's increased 10% in the last 5 years, Mike. So that's really good news from the district for
right.
those people that think. Don't think our schools are doing well. That's a pretty good average, and definitely they're on the upswing there. So that was kind of it. There was a little bit of public, really. I thought this was kind of an interesting manager's comment. Mike, you and I talked about this. The manager talking about the Iditarod and how they were dismayed to find out that Wells Fargo was pulling their sponsorship, some reportedly $100,000 support for the Iditarod. He felt that it was an integral part of activities in the Matsu borough, and it was going to make them relook at their insurance, which apparently is going, and their banking, which apparently is going through Wells Fargo. and take a look at the business they were doing with them. I thought it was sort of an odd.
Well, yes, and I think it wasn't really exactly even a veiled threat. It was pretty clear. And I thought, as I remember, that the mayor then went on and talked a little bit about the history of the involvement of Wells Fargo. But I thought that what was left hanging was the question that was alluded to briefly about how do you go out to get banking services, especially if you've lost track of how that decision was made originally way back in the day. Do you on a regular basis take a look at it? I know it's rare with a home situation that I change banks or anything like that. So I'm thinking that what it just prompted, if you will, the borough's attention to say, well, why are we doing business here? And should it implicitly was included, should we consider factors such as how the bank supports activities here in the borough? That's an open question. I think that left the whole thing open. You're rightly to bring it up.
Right. And, you know, I think the mayor, of course, everybody, I think, knows that the Mayor Halter is a musher and has been involved with the Iditarod for many, many years. He talked a little bit about how National Bank of Alaska, who Wells Fargo bought out years ago, was one of the original sponsors of the Iditarod.
Right.
So that makes sense. I think what left me questioning is later in the meeting, they talked about how they had some of the cheapest insurance rates that could be had. And if they're getting their insurance through Wells Fargo, that seems a little interesting that they're talking about moving out of Wells Fargo, and hopefully that won't affect their insurance rates. But so that was sort of interesting. There was a little bit of a comment from the borough attorney, which rarely does have a comment, but he talked about watching the Supreme Court case.
Oh, yes.
Tuesday, and it sounded like he thought he had the other attorneys huddled in their office. It's an important case and interesting argument on both sides.
Right, and this was, of course, this was the case here at the Alaska Supreme Court dealing with a request to override the governor's action vetoing the permanent fund dividend last year.
Right, and they do not expect a ruling until February of next year. And I've been hearing reports that sometimes it can take up to a year for the Supreme Court to rule on these things. He did mention that they've sued the Willow Wildlife, I didn't get the whole name, Mike, for squatting on borough land, and there's some injunction working its way through the courts on that. So that was sort of the end of those type of comments. So that was kind of the beginning of what was kind of moving along pretty quickly there for a while, Mike, of the meeting. The next thing that I got a little hung up on was a land application for biosolids.
Oh, yes. And this that one brought out more people.
Right. And this is basically using the sludge. Sounded like it was more of an issue of the sludge coming out of the sewer system out in the prison area. And that Corrections has decided, or as noted, they're looking at their budget, too, that it costs a lot of money to have those solids taken into Anchorage and disposed of, because we don't have a big treatment area here yet, although it seems to be in the works for the valley, and that they wanted the ability to be able to spread that out, although someone pointed later in the testimony, which they had several testifiers on, that it didn't include their own land or the farm out there. And it did bring out the farmers, who made a really good argument, I thought, about not only the science of this and whether that's something we want to be spreading on our food sources, on also how sensitive the public is to what goes in their food these days, and agriculture being one of the bright spots out in the borough. They had some pretty good passionate testimony, didn't you think?
I did, and in particular, later on, I got I hadn't realized, but I believe that the Planning Commission had passed forward that it really said it was okay. Their handling of it was to look at it and say that it would be okay to spread the sludge, and so I think many of those people who came out understood that. And understood that there might be some resistance to banning sludge spreading, and that's why they came out to speak. In any case, it ended up being 6-1 with only Assemblyman George McKee voting against the ban.
Right. There was an amendment made, particularly in view of some testimony from the city of Palmer saying the sludge from their small treatment plant here in Palmer is, they have been spreading in their, on their own land that the city owns, not farmland. And the way that the original legislation was written, they wouldn't be able to even do that. And there was an amendment made on that.
Sure. Very important.
And yeah. Mayfield and McKee both voted against that, but for different reasons, I think. Mayfield saying that he didn't support it should be applied anywhere. And McKee was just generally opposed to any type of ban on it. So it did pass at the end of the day, so we won't be having that issue here for a while. And, of course, we'll see what happens when we have our own sewage treatment plant. And that'll kind of be ask and answer that question. We should be able to treat our own after that. But it was an interesting, I always like, I don't know about you, Mike, but I always like listening to the farmers. I think they're they're a very knowledgeable group.
Yes.
They know their business well. They always give very factual, yet, you know, somewhat passionate, but very factual, respectful testimony. And I love having them come out and talk about these issues. So
right.
That one's asked and answered. I thought that was something that's kind of been headed this way. In fact, former Mayor Larry DeVilbiss, I think, originally brought this up when he was in office, and it didn't go very far very quickly. So he wasn't there last night, though.
No.
They also had an interesting ordinance on there for the mayor about a new broadcast tower that is supposed to go out towards the Point McKenzie area, but they delayed action on that at the manager's request. Another thing that was on the agenda had to do with aligning the transportation advisory board, which they were supposed to take action on, but again, the manager asked them to delay that because he wanted to meet with them again and have one more meeting before it came in front of the borough assembly.
Right.
So that was that when they had some talk about the port and some testimony.
Yes.
Some public testimony.
And I was struck by not only the public testimony, but by comments made by some of the assembly members who were holding this proposal at arm's length and sniffing and saying, well, coming to the end of the time I can support having additional monies put in the port without some actual income being derived from it.
Right. So this was an ordinance to reappropriate some money from the community. Is it the community fund? I think they keep taking out of the community fund some money for fixture of some big problems they have. Actually, it was part of the sale of the Susitna, I guess, also.
Yes.
Some big problems they've had at the port with dock repairs. They are involved in some type of a lawsuit with whomever did the initial construction out there, but it didn't sound like they were feeling very positive that would actually come through and they would get some insurance on that, although they are working on it. Mr. Moosey did say, the manager, that it wasn't new money from last year's tax base, that it was, you know, something that it had been in, that community revenue sharing had been taken. And actually, the port has been making some annual payments, although it's way, way less than what they have borrowed from that department. And, yeah, I think there was. It was sort of, I think, Mr. Colligan put it right, that people were holding their nose and voting for it. But we're pretty far into this port deal, and there has been some, Mr. Sykes has done a lot of work in what would happen, what ifs, I guess, if we mothballed it at this point, what would it cost? And you can tell that they're still stinging from the ferry. But one point I'd like to make, and I made this point on a couple of Facebook posts, is that, you know, this is an assembly that wasn't there when the port was derived, or nor the ferry. These were things, in fact, the ferry was way back when Darcy Solomon was mayor many, many years ago, and the port was a completely different assembly. I think maybe at the right after it started got going, maybe Mr. Halter was an assembly person at that point, but he certainly wasn't on the initial assembly body that decided to go down that trail. And once you're down it, you know, there is that where do you go back? They didn't anticipate a lot of things. Anticipate the city of Wausau or the city of Anchorage not following through with a handshake agreement on where to park the ferry. I don't think they anticipated the pushback from the city of Anchorage on this port, because now there's some competition there. So a lot of things have changed. The development that everybody anticipated out there didn't go as planned. So there's a lot of things other than what you're seeing, and although I'm as distressed as anybody is about that, throwing down that what people have described as a big white elephant, I'm not sure how you get out of that at this point. We have such a huge investment, and we should also keep in mind that there's money borrowed on that. The terminal was a grant given. Figure out how we're going to pay that back. I think it's about $26 million. The railroad is half built out there, and it probably would have changed the scope of what's happening out there if the railroad was actually completed. And there's also this whole thing about resources and how much development is really going to be needed in the future as we kind of go down the path to more solar and renewable energy. So, I think Mr. McKee was the only one opposed, but at the end, it's a great time to have an argument, which Mr. Culligan said, but we have to protect what we have, and it's a tough choice, but people should remember the history before they judge too harshly, I think, on this assembly and what they're doing at this point.
Right. Okay.
So I think that was kind of the highlights, Mike.
Yeah,
do you remember anything else? No,
they went into an executive session at the end to deal with some contract negotiations with unions. But I think what's emerged, and that happened yesterday, as affecting both the assembly and, of course, the school district, is the announcement from Juneau with information from both the Senate and the House that they have settled up on all but the big things.
The original hostage take.
Yes, but they backed down from a larger amount of a cut for the university system to $8 million. And I know then the president of the university sent out a letter to employees and students to talk about what the implications of that. So that seems to be a final written piece for the university. That leaves, however, some tens of millions of dollars out there being discussed regarding K-12 education, and that has long been a sticking point. And, of course, they have to decide on the real question also of just how much to take from the permanent fund dividend. And those are the two things that are sitting there. The hint was in the releases that they were going to be able to do this, and then they were headed toward making this appear the respective bodies and be approved tomorrow, so that by Friday they'd be done.
And, well, it's 7 days until the government shuts down,
right? And
so the question is going to be begged at the end. Why now? Why are we able to make it now after two special sessions, and what did that cost?
What changed over those days? Did you just get tired? If that's the case, then get tired earlier. Stay up later. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The interesting question also was that briefly hidden in the reports was the suggestion that someone had made that they also reduce the per diem for legislators, which did apparently get no traction.
Yeah. Well, and, I also feel like there's such a sort of similarity here, what's going on nationally behind closed doors on national health care, and people aren't able to see what's being crafted and exactly sort of the same thing of what's going on in Juneau. We get our information on the process from the news, not really anything done in front of people. And there seems to be a theme there of the people being sort of shut out of the system, which concerns me greatly. It's hard. They've run the clock down to the point at the state that any real substantial conversations from both sides and amendments and that sort of thing by making it go this long won't be had. It'll be a few men, because that's all that's on the committee here. That was all that was on the committee and nationally for healthcare, making the decision, the most important decisions of the entire session. And I think that's sort of a disservice, frankly, to the people.
Yes, and of course, this is only the operating budget. Just as a reminder, they still have to do the capital budget, so that even if they finish this up, they're not going to be done. But apparently there's some sense that it's easier to come up with a capital budget with the little monies that they have there once they get this out. And so we can expect to see them continue. They're not going to do the operating budget and gavel out because they have to. They have to also do a capital budget, but they have time, they feel, to do that. They could probably either take a break, have another session. Who knows?
Yep. Okay. Cha-ching, cha-ching. That's what's costing it. And meanwhile, there was some other information from the governor's office about another downgrade to our credit rating.
Oh, yes.
Which stands there beckoning that we don't. And I don't know, even matter what they're doing this year, they're not fixing what the future holds. They're not coming up with a fiscal plan. All they're doing is really.
And that's my understanding. It's not just this particular year. It's structuring fiscally so that you don't face this cliffhanger every year. And it'll be an interesting year next year, because next year, of course, is election year. And next year, people will be running on, if they've been there before, on how come you didn't solve this?
Why have you always been part of the problem?
All right. Oh my. Okay. Well, yeah. Citizen Lobbyist, I want to thank you for calling in on a rainy day today. And we look forward to hearing more. Hopefully by tomorrow in Valley Edition, we will be able to tell people what was decided.
Right. I want to give one little quick report, Mike, on a meeting I had last night at the City of Palmer. A group of citizens have been getting together, and they're working on wayfinding for the City of Palmer. So this will take a while. This is just starting out on where the signage should go and how to get around the town for visitors and people coming in, bike routes, walking routes.
Great.
And so I think that will be something to look forward to, and it's just going to take a time. But looking at sign designs and thinking about the community and how those would all sit and how we should look and where our gateway should be. It's been a really interesting, I was on the committee. It was a very small committee of people that applied to serve on it. Open to the public, of course, although we didn't have any public participation much, but very interesting exercise. And I look forward to see what Palmer is going to look like once all that signage gets down here coming down the road. So always good things going on in Palmer.
All right. Thank you again, Citizen Lobbyist. Have a good day.
All right.